This morning is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Jonah 3, 1 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. The congregation, please rise and hear the good news. Brothers and sisters, God promises all those united to Jesus Christ through baptism, keeping covenant with him by faith, the victory of the Son, the forgiveness of the Father, and the glory and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to come in the flesh to bring many sons to glory, of which you are. Believe this and rejoice. Amen. Let us sing praises to God for the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. God's will for life this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 to 31. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 31. These are the words of God. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commandments is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Do not let it trouble you, although if you gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he was a free man when he was called as Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Let us go to the Lord now and ask the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you please pray with me? O God, you take your stand in your own congregation. Judge in the midst of the gods. How long will the judges judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? O Lord, vindicate the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. You have said, you are gods, you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you have said, you will die like men, and fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Father in heaven, we praise you that you have called us into your house this morning for worship. We ask you to come and judge the world. We ask you, Lord, to have mercy and judge us in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you've graciously united us. Speak to us now in your word by your Spirit. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls a joyful song. Let us stand together and sing How Firm a Foundation, verses 1 through 3, just the first three verses. Let's stand together and sing. Our sermon text this morning is from Exodus 23, verse 19. Exodus 23:19. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Exodus 23:19. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, a recent news story came out that showed studies revealed that lobsters can feel pain. Lobsters can feel pain. A new Switzerland law requires people to stun their lobsters before boiling them to eat. Animal rights activists allege that the lobster's central nervous system is complex enough that pain can be felt. Now, for some, lobsters are a delicacy. They can be quite expensive at a restaurant to order. And for many, the best you can do for a meal is surf and turf, which would be lobster, and a good steak. Now, even if you don't like lobster, or you'll never eat lobster, you have to take note of this story. In modern society, human beings are showing sympathy for the pain felt by crustaceans in preparing them to eat. Animal rights activists are fighting for the protection and proper treatment of lobsters before consuming them. Now, if you have a soft spot in your heart for lobsters, or you don't wish pain on any of God's creatures, that's fine. This is not a rebuke of you. This is an example and a recognition of the insanity of the world in which we live. We have some who are concerned about lobsters, animals, feeling pain when you're going to eat them. In a world when abortion is legal, the murder of an unborn person. That Switzerland law, you know abortion is legal in Switzerland. Now, abortion practices around the world vary, including injecting chemicals into the mother's womb that burn the unborn child, and the crushing of an unborn baby's skull with forceps. This is the purposeful ending of a baby's life, pain included. Brothers and sisters, this is insanity. People who murder their own children. How can a people survive? How can a nation continue if fathers and mothers murder their own children? For example, China is beginning to recognize this with the end of the one-child policy for families being phased out. The policy was put in place to control the population growth. But if a couple only has one child, they're not reproducing at a rate to replace themselves. They're not replenishing the population. China is already noticing long term this is not a sustainable policy. This insanity, these irrational choices, reveal the absurdity of rebellious man. Sin is rebellion against God. And if we remember that God gives life and He sustains all things, it makes no sense to oppose Him. God gives life, He sustains everything. Why would you oppose Him? If He gives you your very life, why oppose Him? He brought you into being. He has revealed how you ought to live. Doing it any other way than His way is crazy. An example of this is our sermon text or our sermon verse this morning. You shall not cook a kid, a young goat, a baby goat, in its mother's milk. Now, this seems like a strange command from the Lord. But do you know that it's repeated 3 times in the law? You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. 3 times. Can you think of anything in the Bible that's repeated 3 times? Yes, Dean? What's that? Number 7? You mean the repetition of number 7? Yes, that is right. The style in which number 7 is given is through repetition. Cassie, you can give him 5. That was a good job. She's leaving him hanging over there. Now, this boiling a kid in its mother's milk is strange, but if a command is repeated 3 times, it would seem to be important. So why would God give such a command? You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Do you think this is a widespread problem in Israel? They had just come out of Egypt. They had seen all the wicked practices in Egypt, and the Egyptians had a practice of boiling kids in its mother's milk, and God didn't want Israel to continue this practice. Well, if we're wise and we're able to understand symbols, we can make logical connections here. Cooking or boiling a baby goat would result in what? A dead baby goat. The baby goat would be killed. If you boil it, if you cook it, it will die. Was Israel forbidden from eating goats? No. So it doesn't seem that the boiling is the issue. It's the boiling in milk. You shall not cook a baby goat in its mother's milk. It's the mother's milk. So what's the point of this command? Well, what is milk to a baby? Milk is life. Milk is life to a baby. Baby goats especially. Especially the milk from its own mother. So this command, repeated 3 times in the law, means don't use what God has given for life as an instrument of death. Don't use what God has graciously given as life, the milk. It's given for life. Don't use life as an instrument of death. Don't kill with life-giving things. God gave milk for life. Don't kill with it. Life-giving things are not to be used for death. It's insanity to do so. It's backward. Mothers are supposed to be life-givers. Remember when Adam named Eve? Why did he pick the name Eve? Because she shall be the mother of all living. She shall give life. She is a mother. Her name means life. In abortion, the doctor, think about that, the purpose of a doctor, the doctor purposely ends the life of a baby in the womb. And if life begins at conception, and it does, God grows a baby in the mother's womb, and the womb is the most life-giving place. Fathers and mothers and doctors purposely go into that womb and kill the life. The the most life-giving place, in the most life-giving person, by someone who's supposed to protect life. They murder the child. Does that make sense? Is that a sign of a healthy and God-fearing culture? Do not use what God has given for life as an instrument of death. Let's pause and have the kids come forward for the children's message. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
All right, I want to talk about God's commands. Okay, can I see your eyes up here? God's commands. God says, if you obey my word, you shall live. And then he says, the wages of sin is death. Who can raise their hand and tell me, what's Ephesians 6:1? Ephesians 6:1. Titus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Maybe you couldn't remember it off the top of your head. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, most of you have. Okay, hands down. The next verses are, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that you may live. You obey your mom and dad, you will live. God promises to bless us when we obey God. And he says the wages of sin is death. When we disobey God, we are not choosing life. We are choosing death. Now, who can raise their hand and give me an example of one of God's commands? Dean, you want to recite number 7 for us? No, I'm joking. Evan, give me a command.
Do not murder.
Do not murder, which is a good command. Do not murder. Okay? So if I sinfully, wickedly end someone's life, is that a sin?
Yes.
Is that a sin? Is that wicked? Am I choosing life? No. What am I choosing?
Death.
Okay? What's the opposite of murdering somebody?
Loving them.
And loving them isn't choosing death, it's choosing life. Who can give me another example of a command? Lee?
You shall not covet.
That's a good one. Covet is where, can I see your eyes up here? Covet is in our hearts. We want something somebody else has. And it burns within inside of us, and we start to hate our neighbor because of it. Okay, we hate them. Is that seeking life?
No.
Are we choosing to obey God and to live? No, when we covet, what are we choosing?
Death.
We're saying, I want to die. I don't want to live. I don't want to obey God. Does that make sense?
No.
Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? No. To choose life makes sense. To choose death does not make sense. Yes, Titus. Joseph's brothers what? They were jealous. Joseph's brothers were jealous of Joseph and they tried to kill their brother. Was that a good choice or a bad choice?
Bad choice.
Bad choice. Did they choose life for their brother?
No.
No, they chose death.
Well,
yeah, because God worked it out. What they intended for evil, God intended for good. Yep. So, boys and girls, can I see your eyes? If we choose God, we choose life. If we don't choose God, we choose death. So let's choose God. Okay, let's pray and ask the Spirit's blessing on our lives and our choices. Fold your hands, close your eyes, and you can say my words after me. Father in heaven, thank you for life and sending your Son to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to love life, to choose life, and to live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can head back to your seats. Now, brothers and sisters, abortion is a wicked act. It is the one of the most heinous practices in our time. It is our day's Holocaust. And we ought to view it this way, and we should not shy away from calling it evil. For the Lord says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." So we ought to pray for the end of abortion. We ought to do what we can to end this barbarous practice. And we ought to know and confess that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ for those who have had abortions or even participated in abortions. In fact, one of the women in the historic Roe versus Wade case was later converted to Christianity and actively fought to end the practice of abortion in this country. Now, abortion is wicked, but it's also a sign. And I want to think about this morning. Abortion is a sign of the depraved God rebellion of mankind. It's a sign of humankind depravity. Proverbs 8:36 states that those who hate God love death. Those who hate God love death. Now, many today in the world would have no difficulty confessing to hating God. We can go out there, we can find people who say, "Yeah, I hate God." But the majority of the people would probably only confess to hating God through lifestyle, through their choices. So how do they hate God? Through their choices, through their lifestyles. How do they love death? Through their lifestyle and their choices. Well, God gives life. We don't have life in ourselves. God is graciously sustaining each one of us right now. Our lives could end right now. The fact that you're alive and you're breathing, your heart's beating, is God's grace. He's keeping you alive. For when we die, the body returns to the ground and the spirit goes to the one who gave it. And that's for Christians and unbelievers. God sustains all life. So to sin, to reject God, is to hate Him and turn from Him, and to turn from the source of life. To say, "God, I don't want you," is to cut yourself off from the giver of life. To reject God is to say, "I don't want you, God. I don't want life." Yet insanely, rebellious man still wants to live. Rebellious man still eats food to sustain life. You'll still see rebellious man exercise to try to stay healthy. Go to the doctor. Rebellious man still tries to live, even though he has cut himself off from the Lord and giver of life. This is true also of our culture. A culture of death rejects life and rejects God. The insanity of our culture is trying to find love, trying to find joy, trying to find life apart from the true and the living God. That's our culture. That's the culture of death. A culture of death kills its children. A culture of death tells women to sacrifice their children on the altar for a number of reasons. Selfishness, convenience. Abortion is the sacrament of the culture of death. Because children are a sign of life. God gives life as a gift. You know, many of you have told me, all the children up here are a sign of life to the church. There was a time when there weren't many children in the church. And the fact that God has blessed this church with life is a sign of His grace. When a child grows and a child develops in the womb, that is life. And life only comes from God. babies and children are signs of God's blessing of life, His blessings of joy, His blessings of faithfulness. Here's Psalm 128. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You'll eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Children around the table, a sign of life, a sign of blessing. So we need to be a culture of life within a culture of death. And we need to have a prophetic voice when it comes to life. We confess, we affirm that God gives life. Abortion is murder. Children are blessings. And they're blessings when they're squirrely in church too. Do I have a witness? We need to be faithful to God's word on the issue of abortion. All abortion is murder, including cases of rape and incest. That is murder too. The situation that brought about the life does not make the abortion okay. Life begins at conception, and that's all life. We ought to mourn babies who die in childbirth and babies who die in miscarriage. There was a life there, and we ought to mourn that life. We cherish the lives God blesses His people. We need to support mothers and parents of children. If a baby gets squirrely during church, dads, take the baby out. Don't just always expect mom to take the baby out. Dads, take the baby out. Give your wife a break. Take the baby out. Help mothers in worship. If we cherish life, we have to love and support the life God gives. We should never be short on Sunday school teachers. We shouldn't have to drum them up. We should have a bounty of willing Sunday school teachers. We need to support orphans, such as this church's support of the imperfect process of foster care, even at this church's own inconvenience. That is supporting life. That is a recognition of life. We need to be life-giving as people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We confess the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Fountains of living water flow out of the church. And fountains of living water flow out of each of us. So we need to give life to one another. The world, the culture, hates life. But the world needs life. In enslavement to sin, they reject life. But when God graciously frees slaves and gives them life in Jesus Christ, they must find a home in Christ's church. And we must love, we must serve, we must give life to the refugees from the culture of death. Give life to the refugees of the cultures of death. We must have a culture of life here in the church. Love life. And hate death. Hate what God hates. Hate death. Loving life is loving God. Loving God is loving life. So hate death. Hate sin. I mean, really hate sin. Hate it so much that you don't want to sin. Hate sin so much that you don't want your brother or sister to fall into it. This church has a history of people just coming and going. Just disappearing from the church. Haven't seen so-and-so in a while. Have you talked to so-and-so in a while? They haven't been here in a while. Parts of the body that get detached. What happens to a toe that gets severed from the foot? What happens to a hand that gets cut off? It dies. Love your brothers and sisters enough to hate sin and to pursue them. I haven't seen you in a while. Instead of I haven't seen so-and-so in a while, I haven't seen you in a while. We love you. Come back. Hate sin and cling to God's gifts of life. God gives us His Word. The Word of life. Live by God's Word and you will live. Ask yourself seriously, how much does God's Word play in your individual lives? In your family's lives? Is your exposure to God's Word simply one verse from a devotional a day? Are you practicing serious Bible living? You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a seminary professor. Do you live in the Word and by the Word? Do you spend more time in the Word than you do watching TV? Seriously. Do you read the Bible more than you watch TV? Do you value the sacraments? The sacraments are the means of grace for the church. God has said so in His Word. Baptism, Lord's Supper, the preaching of the Word. God has given them to the church as the way He gives grace, as the way He gives life. Don't value other aspects of church more than the means of grace He's given us. He has promised explicitly to give us life through the sacraments, by His Spirit. Believe that and love it. And lastly, be a culture of life regarding fellowship. The church is the fountain of living waters. And anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, living waters will flow out of you. So living waters are pouring out of you, out of you, out of you, out of you. Living waters are pouring out of you. You are little dispensers of grace. So you can give life to one another. In how you speak to one another. In how you serve one another. Encouragement. Reproof, edifying speech. We can tear down with our speech. We can gossip. We can murder our brothers and sisters with our tongues. Or we can give life. We can build up. So, brothers and sisters, don't be a culture of death within a culture of death. Don't be a place where refugees from the culture of death come in and say, you know, this isn't a whole lot different from the world. I get this out there. This place is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be life and grace and love here. Follow Jesus in this. Jesus gave His life so we would have life. Jesus said, my life for yours. So we ought to say that about one another. My life for yours. Set this in your mind, in your heart. I'm going to church. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. I'm going to put aside my preferences. I'm going to submit to the Lord and love my brothers and sisters. Self-sacrifice, humility, and love. Love what is good and hate what is evil. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Almighty God, who out of the mouths of babes and infants has ordained strength, you have made infants to glorify you through their lives. And tragically in their deaths. We pray, O Lord, put away and destroy all wickedness in us, in mankind, and in the world. Annihilate the horrific practice of abortion. Strengthen us by thy grace to witness for life, to speak for the poor, the weak, the fatherless. And may the prophetic witness of the church be faithful to your word, that we may glorify your name and your spirit change the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.